thing, which is a very short distance indeed, that a steady diet of bacon rinds and choice kitchen scraps and a warm roost for the night was well worth the occasional inconvenience of letting Granny share its head, watched her with mild interest. Granny found her boots and thumped down the stairs, sternly resisting the urge to glide. The door was wide open, and there was already a drift of fine snow on the floor.
"Oh, bugger," she said.
She wondered if it was worth trying to find Esk's mind, but human minds were never so sharp and clear as animal minds, and anyway, the overmind of the forest itself made impromptu searching as hard as listening for a waterfall in a thunderstorm. But even without looking, she could feel the pack mind of the wolves, a sharp, rank feeling that filled the mouth with the taste of blood. She could just make out the small footprints in the crust, half filled with fresh snow. Cursing and muttering, Granny Weatherwax pulled her shawl around her and set out. The white cat awoke from its private ledge in the forge when it heard the sounds coming from the darkest corner. Smith had carefully shut the big doors behind him when he went off, with the nearly hysterical boys, and the cat watched with interest as a thin shadow prodded at the lock and tested the hinges. The doors were oak, hardened by heat and time, but that didn't prevent them being blown right across the street. Smith heard a sound in the sky as he hurried along the track. So did Granny. It was a determined, whirring sound like a flight of geese, and the snow clouds boiled and twisted as it passed. The wolves heard it too, as it spun low over the treetops and hurtled down into the clearing, but they heard it far too late. Granny Weatherwax didn't have to follow the footprints now. She aimed herself for the distant flashes of weird light, the strange swishing and thumping, and the howls of pain and terror. A couple of wolves bolted past her with ears flattened in grim determination to have it away on their paws no matter what stood in their way. There was the crackle of breaking branches. Something big and heavy landed in a fir tree by Granny and crashed, whimpering, into the snow. Another wolf passed her in flat trajectory about head height and bounced off a tree trunk. There was silence. Granny pushed her way between the snow-covered branches. She could see that the snow was flattened in a white circle. A few wolves lay at its edges, either dead or wisely deciding to make no move. The staff stood upright in the snow, and Granny got the feeling it was turning to face her as she walked carefully past it. There was also a small heap in the centre of the circle, curled tightly up inside itself. Granny knelt down with some effort and reached out gently. The staff moved. It was little more than a tremble, but her hand stopped just before it touched Esk's shoulder. Granny glared up at the wooden carvings and dared it to move again. The air thickened. Then the staff seemed to back away while not moving, while at the same time something quite indefinable made it absolutely clear to the old witch that as far as the staff was concerned, this wasn't a defeat. It was merely a tactical consideration, and it wouldn't like her to think she had won in any way because she hadn't. Esk gave a shudder. Granny patted her vaguely.
"It's me, little one. It's only old Granny."
The hump didn't uncurl. Granny bit her lip. She was never quite certain about children, thinking of them, when she thought about them at all, as coming somewhere between animals and people. She understood babies. You put milk in one end and kept the other end as clean as possible. Adults were even easier, because they did the feeding and cleaning themselves, but in between was a world of experience she had never really inquired about. As far as she was aware, you just tried to stop them catching anything fatal and hoped that it would all turn out all right. Granny, in fact, was at a loss, but she knew she had to do something.
"Did a nasty wolfie frighten us, then?"
she hazarded. For quite the wrong reasons, this seemed to work. From the depths of the ball, a muffled voice said,